Take your Bibles, please, and let's turn together to Psalm 128 after our Bible study. I didn't do it. We're going to pick up where we left off last week in this passage, and we're talking about the word blessed. Blessed. You know that that word blessed or blessing or bless appears 600 times in the Old Testament alone, and it's another 360 times in the New Testament. It's a word that is a word we're familiar with. Many of you know Barak, the man who was too afraid to go to war for the nation of Israel, and so Deborah had to go and assist him to go to war. That his name means blessed, and that's the word that's used 600 times in the Old Testament, and the majority of those times, it's used in the Psalms. You find it over and over and over again. I had last night one of the most interesting conversations that I have had in years. And it was with two men waiting for the award ceremony last night. We had two of them, one at 6 o'clock, one at 6:30. And the 6 o'clock one, I was out there early sitting at the table on a bench. And two men came up, said, "Do you mind if we sit down on the bench?" I said, "Absolutely, come ahead." And sit down, and I started to talk to them. One of them was an Afghanistan war veteran. He had come back. He has some battles that he's dealing with and became a father for the first time a year ago. He's 41 years of age. And he told about how that he had been struggling about God. He said, "I grew up in a Roman Catholic church," and he said, "I knew what they taught about God and all the different things, and that the Pope was the vicar of Christ and so forth like that." He said, "Then when I got married, I started going to a Baptist church," and he said, "It was a shock for me to go to a Baptist church, and they spoke of Jesus Christ as the Savior of sinners in a different way than I ever heard growing up." But he said, I have a real problem with God." And he said, "The God of the Old Testament to me seems like that he was always punishing. And I said, "Are you aware of the fact that, of course, Jesus had not come yet, that he had not died on the cross, that the Holy Spirit, the Comforter of God, who would bear witness of Christ on the earth, had not come yet? He only visited in certain times." And I said, "But grace appears in the Old Testament. So you have to be careful that you don't assign certain things that maybe you were told about the Old Testament. You need to read it for yourself." And he said, I don't do very well with reading." He said, "I'm not a good reader." I said, "Get an audio Bible and start listening to it." The other gentleman sitting over here had his Bible app that he pulled up while we were talking. He said, "I'm a new Christian. I've only been saved for about 6 months." He said, "I've been listening to your conversation," and he said, "I just looked up some Bible verses in the Old Testament, and you're right." He said, "The Psalms talk about all the blessings of God." And I said, "You're not going to believe this. I've got a series on Wednesday night I'm doing on blessing." I invited him to come. He's not here tonight. But he's a new Christian. He's a member of another church. And he pulled it up on his app. And he was showing me the word blessed. He said, "An evil, mean God wouldn't bless people." So simple. An evil, mean God wouldn't bless people and talk so much about it in the Old Testament. The Lord has gotten a bad rap when it comes to the Old Testament. I've sadly heard people that have criticized and said, "Oh, things would be handled much differently in the New Testament." Well, you're right. You're right. But there are some things that are consistent with God in both Testaments. And one of them is His grace. Another one is His mercy. His mercy. It was demonstrated over and over and over again. You know, He warned in the book of Genesis, He warned of the Amorites that in the fourth generation would be destroyed because of their wickedness. Why did He warn them four generations before? So that they would know the truth and be delivered from that. What do we call that? mercy. God sent His prophets with a message of deliverance. He sent His prophet Jonah to a Gentile city-state so that they might know of God's goodness and deliverance. You have to be careful that you don't read into the Old Testament something that somebody else said. Let the Old Testament speak for itself. And when you read the Psalms, Christian, you are reminded constantly of the blessings of God. Over and over and over again. Especially in books 3, 4, and 5 of the Psalms. In the front half of the Psalms, we see it there. But the predominance increases when you get to books 3, 4, and 5. You know the Psalms are divided up into 5 sections. And when you see that, the intensity of the blessing comes. And God describes how this blessing comes. Beginning at verse 1 of Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Now we're talking about words that are good words, are they not? Blessed, happy. That doesn't sound like cowering in fear. Oh no, God's going to be angry at me. No, this is God speaking. Fear me and know happiness. Fear me and know joy. Fear me and be blessed. This fear that he's talking about is not slavish fear. Well, we walk around cowering all the time. No, this fear is something totally different. It's recognizing the reverence that is due a holy God. Let me ask you something. How do you behave in a court of law? You act reverently. There is a code of conduct in a courtroom. When you walk in there for jury selection, they have you seated up in the back there, and then everybody stands when the judge walks in. The bailiff comes in and says, the judge is now entering. Please stand. Everybody stands. Why do they stand? Out of reverence. Now, many people may not even know who the judge is. They might not know him personally. They may have never heard his name before. But we stand in reverence to the judge because he has what? Authority. And in certain circumstances, he has the authority to declare someone may lose their life if they're found guilty of murder. That's how much weight he has. I remember back in 1989, I went into Dr. Hobbs' office and I showed him my jury summons. And he said, oh, you got to get out of that, Todd. And I said, Dr. Hobbs, I've already tried. I'm not getting out of this. It was one of the biggest trials in Santa Rosa County. It happened in Escambia County, though, where 3 men were killed in an ambush on Escambia River. And we went in there and we all stood. And we went through that whole process. And they put up pictures. They were trying to weed out those that were queasy and whatever. And I saw some of the most gruesome things I've ever seen. But one of the attorneys during the jury selection got a little mouthy with a juror and referred to the ones that had been selected as a star chamber. I'd never heard that expression before. But I want to tell you, that judge said, attorney, in front of my bench. And he spoke loud enough for all of us to hear it. He said, you're going to turn around, you're going to apologize to those jurors, you're going to apologize to all the pool that's waiting to be polled. You are never to refer to a jury in my courtroom as a star chamber. The attorney immediately turned around. I want to apologize to everyone for the language that I used. It was inappropriate for this courtroom. And then he went over to the jurors and he said the same thing to them. It was stunning to see that. Now, I didn't get selected. I was there the whole week, though. It took a week to select the jury for that trial. And they were found guilty, and they're serving right now. I think one of them is on death row. I don't know if it's ever going to happen, but the other two are life in prison. But it was something for me. I'd never been in that situation before. I was a 20-something at that time. I think I was 24 or 25. Never been in a murder trial situation. I'd read about this in the papers. That was going to be my out, that I've read about this thing in the paper. You know, of course, some of the other ones said that too, and they still got picked to do that. The judge wasn't having that. But the tenor of the courtroom was one of respect and reverence. But you know what? When they come out of the booth, I've been in a judge's chambers where the judges didn't have the robe on, and he was just talking to us like, and I knew who he was, and he knew who I was because he had a kid playing out here. He was appointed to be a Supreme Court justice in the state of Florida. And we talked just as normally, but whenever he started the group discussion or whatever that was going to happen, it all changed. And then afterward, we went back to talking again. We were able to shift in our minds. It was required that we shift. We weren't friends now. He's a judge, and I'm just a witness. Now, I have to understand something. God is still judge. Do I hear an amen? God is still in charge of the universe. Nothing has changed. His Son has been given authority, and He will exercise that authority. He was known as Lord after His resurrection, first time it's ever used in the book of John, is when He rose from the dead and He became the Lord Jesus Christ. He was given all authority, and He's going to rule and reign. It's not going to be walking into His chambers and high-fiving Him. Are you following me here? Because He's our judge. Yes, He's our friend. But He is due reverence and awe and respect. And that's what the word fear here is. So blessed are those that recognize that. Amen? That recognize that. That don't push that out of their minds and say, well, you know, Jesus has died on the cross. We're all good now. We can do whatever we want to do. Oh, no. No. Doesn't mean that at all. Yes, there is now no condemnation, but there's still accountability. We're all going to stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ. It's not a judgment for sin. It's a judgment of reward. And we're told there that He's going to wipe away tears. That means we're going to do some crying. I don't know for all the reasons why, but I do know He's going to wipe away tears. Why? Because He's awesome. He's honored. He's God. Blessed are they. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. Second aspect. There's responsibility. Do I hear an amen on that? You know, we're living in a day where responsibility has been watered down to some degree. A friend of mine sent me this yesterday. I actually posted it up on Facebook. He said, grace doesn't erase responsibility. Mercy doesn't cancel maturity. If you're backsliding or slacking on your post, it's not shame, it's a wake-up call. Correction is an attack on you, it's a gift. Listen to that. Correction is not an attack on you, it's a gift. It means God still sees something worth refining in you because you are in His Son. Stop trying to feel better in your sin. Repent, return to your first love, and get back on your post. That was very well written. Because sometimes we think that all that stuff's been done away with. There's no responsibility. There's no accountability. Oh, yes, there is. Now, I want you to think with me further on this. That if we ignore fearing God, if we ignore walking in His ways, There's consequences for that. If I choose to stick my finger in a light socket with the bulb out, I can expect what? If it's on in the on position, I'm going to get shocked. And it's not going to feel great. There are certain things in this world that you can't get away with. And God has organized the universe against sin. And His Son paid the penalty for that sin. And He says, if you don't believe on Me, you're going to have the weight of that condemnation upon you. Because you're condemned already. God has not erased consequences. Consequences are still there. If I were to decide to start smoking tonight, which I would never do, but if I started to do, I would expect that sometime in the future, I would get what? Lung cancer, emphysema. I could go down a list of about 20 things that a person can get. High blood pressure. Just from smoking. Why? Because there's consequences for that. If I go out and race my truck up and down the road, I can expect something. Sooner or later, there's going to be a police officer out there, and he's going to say, Mr. Brainerd, what in the world are you doing? I'm exercising my freedom. If I want to do 100, I'm going to do 100. I have liberty in Christ to do whatever I want to do. You know that there are people that actually think that? It's all right for me to go do whatever I want to do because I have liberty in Christ. You don't know what liberty is. Liberty is doing what pleases Christ. That's what liberty is. It's not to do whatever I want to do. It is to please Him. Follow Him. Walk in His ways, not my ways. That's a huge difference. My way and His way. We cannot even compare the two. Even whenever I'm walking in His way, I don't usually do a very good job, do we? We need to think about this. Let God's Word saturate. When we break God's laws, they ultimately break us. I want you just to listen. As I go through some of the consequences of breaking God's laws that are in the Old Testament. Okay? Genesis 2, 15 through 17. Eat of the fruit, and ye shall surely what? Everybody say it. Did that happen? Yes, it did. Exodus 21, 12 through 19. If a man strikes a man and kills him, his life shall be taken. Not an accidental death, but one that's premeditated. Exodus 34, 1 through 7. God will not leave the guilty unpunished. Do you know that that law, that principle is still in effect? What do you think the end of this world is going to be like? When the blood runs to the bridles of the horses. That's judgment, folks. That's judgment. Leviticus 21 through 10. Adulteresses must be put to death. That's what the Lord said in His Word. 24, 10 through 23. Speaking of another situation in which a man violates another individual and kills him, he must be put to death. Leviticus 26, 14 through 26. If you reject My decrees, you shall be judged. I could go on and on all the way through. Let me go over to the New Testament. Matthew 5, 17 through 20. Anyone who breaks one of these commandments has broken all. All of them, if you break one. Romans 4, 13 through 15. The law bringeth wrath. The law bringeth wrath. If you violate the law, now the law itself is just written code. But there's a judge that enforces the consequences of the law. That's what the whole judicial system is all about. We have written codes, and then we have justices that enforce those codes. They try you in a court of law to see if you violated those codes, and then if there's any consequence for that. We in America have a jury of 12. sometimes in civil matters, a jury of six. I don't know, some states may have it different than that, but normally it's a jury of 12 of your peers and a judge. And a judge can overrule a jury. Did you know that? Okay. What is it called? Justice withholding prejudice, or justice without prejudice? Is that what it's called, where a judge can come back and even if a jury rules one way, the judge can come back and say, I'm not going to do that? Yeah. It's just an amazing thing, the power that a judge has. Galatians 3, 10 through 14. All they that are under the law are under a curse, because not one person is able to obey the law. Galatians 6 and verse 7. For a man reaps what he sows. Hebrews 10, 26 through 31. Moses died without mercy. That's an interesting verse of Scripture, describing the fact that when Moses, instead of speaking to the rock, struck the rock, and God said, you'll not go in to the promised land. There was no suspending of the law for Moses. He would die. There would be a battle over his body. Michael the archangel, we're told, battled with Satan over the body of Moses, and then he was buried. There was no mercy there. Because he had sinned, because he had chosen not to do what God said, there was a consequence that came. Then finally, James 2, 8 through 11. Well, I could do others, but I'm narrowing it down. Yea, he that stumbles at just one point offendeth in all. That's tough. That's in the New Testament. That's tough. Think about it. If I just stumble in one, I offend all. Yeah, that's right. Now, God in this day and age, and I'm so thankful for this, has allowed grace to be enthroned. I should hear a big amen on that. It's enthroned, but it doesn't do away with accountability. The grace of God teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, or age is the word that's used there. Titus chapter 2. Hey, think about that for just a moment. The grace of God teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live righteously and godly in this present world. Yes, that's what grace does. So, let's go back to our passage. Now, we're going to finish up here with this thought. Notice how this happiness plays out in this psalm. Verse 3. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. Second time that that's mentioned. All right. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. Do you realize that that was looking way forward into the future? But what was the key? Goes back to verse 1. Fear God and walk in His ways. Very simply put, in this Song of Degrees, and by the way, there are several psalms, there are 15 of them, that begin way back in Psalm 120. We have the Song of Degrees, is what's the pilgrims, as they were coming in three times a year to Jerusalem. You remember how all the males were to come to Jerusalem three times a year? They were to come at Pentecost, they were to come at the Day of Atonement, they were to come at the Feast of Lights, they were to be there, and they would ascend the hill because Jerusalem was a mountain. So wherever you were in Israel, you were going upward to go up to Jerusalem. And they would sing these songs that David wrote. And one of the songs that they would sing was Psalm 128. This was put to music. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. I think we're all going to maybe get to hear that in heaven someday. I don't know what the tune is. I know what the words are, the lyrics. Psalm 128. Now that's English. In Hebrew, it rhymes a whole lot better. But I am not a Hebrew scholar. I don't speak Hebrew. And so I have to take the scholar's word for it. It all perfectly rhymes in the Hebrew language, but it communicates a message. And it's a message that we need today. We are a blessed people. Look at the screen. All right, think about it. As a people of God, we are very thankful. We are incredibly grateful because we're unbelievably blessed. We're unbelievably blessed. And even if we were not, we would still be in a better position as a child of God than in anything else that this world has to say. One more thought with a young man that was on the end of the bench that was listening in on the conversation, and we talked after the other fellow left for just a little bit. He said, you know, one of the things that I have learned in my 6 months of being a Christian is how important it is for me to be in the Bible every day. He said, I hear people all the time, just like that fellow right there, that was thinking that the God of the Old Testament was mean. He said, I've read my Bible enough in the Old Testament to know that he was not mean, he was just righteous. That young man with a four-year-old child that plays soccer out there had gotten a hold of something. And I just rejoiced with him. I said, brother, you've got something that a lot of people don't get. You understand something. That God is good. But his goodness will not let him condone evil. He will not let evil go unpunished. In his Son, he punished evil forever and ever. Poured out his wrath. And those that will not have his Son will endure that final wrath. They will endure that because they chose not to take the payment that was made in their behalf. Forgiveness that was provided. Father in heaven, I thank you for your blessed word. We are a blessed people. We face a lot of challenges in this world. We see things that are going on in countries and in our country, and we wonder and we doubt and we are concerned about all the things that are happening. But above all, we realize that we are indeed a blessed people. We have so much to be thankful for. We have your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, the one who took our place on Calvary's tree, the one who ministers grace to our hearts and lives each and every day, but the one who is deserving of all reverence and all honor. Lord, I pray that we would take a full-orbed view of Christ and not just pick out something that we like and run with that. Help us to understand the complexity and the beauty of our Savior. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.